Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. It is Scary Cast this Monday. We're going to have a grand time. It is the 5th of June, and we've got a lot of great things happening this summer. We've got the North Carolina Bigfoot Conference coming up in 12 days, Burnsville Town Center, Burnsville, North Carolina. Everybody on this podcast tonight will be there. If you're not, we'll tell everyone next week. So don't spoil my fun, okay? Anyway, this is Dr. John Stamey. I'm so glad to be here with everybody. Tonight, our first co-host that I will introduce is none other than the Queen of Scary Cast, Robin McCray. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Excited to be here as always.
Well, we're glad to have you here, and I pulled a surprise on everybody because I was lucky enough to find two of the coolest people that I know getting ready to do a podcast. I said, no, you got to come on our podcast. So there we go. We're so glad they're here. And Robin, we're glad you're here. And from Augusta, Georgia, one of the spookiest towns in America, Chris Chastain. How are you doing tonight, Chris?
Doing good, John. It is my favorite night of the week, so I am tickle pink to be here. Thank you very much.
We're so glad you're here. You know what? You started making this my favorite night of the week. You really have, because we have great guests. I mean, we have three scary casts now. We have Monday night, Tuesday night, and Thursday night. Tuesday night's a lot of fun. We have Matt Delp and we have Kyler Smith. Thursday night, we have Ryan Trembley. We have Chris Chastain and Kyler Smith, and me, of course. But this is the old standard. This is what we built ScaryCast on, is this Monday night broadcast. Normally, it includes Dr. Trey Dunaway, along with Chris, and along with Robin. Dr. Trey has got a hall pass. He is out of town with family. He will be back, of course, next week, and we'll be glad to have him here. Anyway, okay, I've already done my plug, ncbigfootconference.com. Go there, buy tickets. It's going to be great. It's going to be the most fun that you can have north of Asheville. I'm going to tell you that. It's a great town. Burnsville is great, and we hope to do a lot of events there, so please come out and support that. Now, tonight, first, from parts unknown, going by the name of Mr. Wrestling 3, the one, the only Mr. Wrestling 3. How are you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm doing great, folks. How's everyone else doing out there?
Good. Glad you're with us.
Oh, yeah. Now, Chris,
good to
you're
hear
supposed
your
to say
again.
Something nice. Yeah, there you go. Say something nice to Mr. Wrestling 3. Sorry, I'm the world's worst host. I just am. Okay, anyway, we're glad you're here, Mr. Wilson. And now, from more parts unknown, he's not only a doctor, but he's now a professor. Professor Mulder, the man in charge of the radionics in our group. So how are you doing tonight, Professor?
I'm doing most excellent, most excellent. And I tell you, I'm really excited because today I did a little bit of an experiment with Robin, and I think it was very successful. I think it took a matter of about 30 minutes to start seeing some progress with this. And so, yeah, I'll talk about that later on in the show if you like. But other than that, I mean, I'm just making machines and just having a good old time. And I'm
well,
oh, by the way, I'm yeah. And once again, yeah, I'm going to be over there at Burnsville with you. And I guess you and I are going to do some Q&A concerning radionics. And I think also I'm going to try to come up with a demonstration as to how to use radionics to promote cryptid activity. So this will help all the Bigfooters up there, you know, with their research.
Okay. Well, now, Robin, is it okay if the professor talks about the experiment that you two did today on the air? Is that okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, we found for a lot of the people that I've worked with and know that I do the energy work and the earth work and stuff, we found, I think, it's safe to say, a tie-in between the radionics and that. So I'm, like, really excited about it.
Okay, well, great. Well, now, first of all, would you mind, Robin, giving us a high-level overview of that statement, the connection between radionics and energy work?
Well, the energy work, and I think, is Professor Mulder okay if I discuss this?
Yes, but... as long as you don't mention any names, I think we're totally good. And basically, this is a
absolutely.
Very antagonizing person.
And I'm
going to
let you
person.
Talk
about... Yeah.
Right. So that I'm not even going to touch on. No, I think what I felt today, and I think I'm accurate in it, maybe not, because I'm learning about the radionics. Okay? I'm thrilled with it, first of all. But I do energy work. And the energy work that I do, I'm taking energy... from my body, not like an energy where, you know, oh, I have this energy, I can run around, you know, the block. That's not the kind of energy I'm talking about. I'm talking about energy that you create within your body. And I use that to do certain things, to project different things and accomplish different things. With this, it's the same thing, only I'm taking the energy from my body. This is it's being used within technology. But it's the same basic principles. I'm thrilled by it. I'm just, like, really, really excited about it.
Okay. Now, Professor Mulder, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, the thing about it is, Robin predicted that tomorrow or maybe even Wednesday morning would not be such great days for me. They'd be, you know, your typical speed bump where you have to deal with the minutiae of life and some – there might be a speed bump in your way that's going to, you know, it's not going to harm you. It's just going to be aggravating. And I don't like aggravation. I've gotten to the stage of my life where I don't really appreciate aggravation one bit. And so she told me it was a person that was very antagonizing. And all I wanted to do, I didn't want to harm them in any way, shape, or form. I just wanted them just to leave me out of any conversations they may have with other people. I don't want to be involved, you know, because it's just something where I think it was a somebody apparently has a I don't know how to put it. It's just their personality is just where they're at the point where they just want to cause, you know, people discomfort. I'll leave it at that. But anyway, we started this experiment, and she told me what this current situation was. So I went to my machines, and I basically just tuned the machines to be protected from any kind of negative energies that might be projected from this individual, any kind of thing, you know, anything like that, and to basically just take me out of their thoughts. I don't want to be involved in, you know, in their. I don't want to be a center of their attention anymore. And so just take me out of, you know, just take me out of the picture. And also set another machine for them just to be quiet and never mention me again. And so, and that's what I did. So, and I let this thing go for like 30 or 45 minutes, and then. I texted Robin. I said, "Hey, Robin, would you mind checking this out, you know, again and see what you're picking up on this thing?" And this is where I think Robin should take over.
Yeah, it was really amazing to me because I had been picking this up for, I think it's safe to say, throughout the weekend that this was going to happen with Professor Mulder. And every time I got it, the image was very vibrant, very three-dimensional in my mind. I could physically feel like through the course of Tuesday night and into Wednesday morning, like a physical feeling in my body of going over a bump, which I know that sounds crazy, but that's exactly what it was. And I could feel that that was there. It wasn't going to anything that was going to level his world, destroy him or anything, but it was definitely not a good thing that was going to go on. And more of a situation that would be an annoyance, uncomfortable, and unnecessary. And so I started getting more images of things that would be going on within it. So then when he contacted me and he said, you know, is there any, you feel any changes? Would you kind of look at it again? I was amazed because instead of seeing in my mind this very vibrant three-dimensional image of what was happening, it looked like it was turning to a fog and it was dissipating. Like I was watching this. I've never had that happen before. I was watching this in my mind and it was dissipating. And not only was it dissipating, that tightness that I felt within my body of going over the, and it, just like if you were to hit a speed bump, you know how that jostles you in the car? I kept getting that over and over. So when this started happening and the image was dissipating, I went to go check that feeling, and that was going away to the point of almost non-existence. Now,
right,
I
now,
don't know what
Robin,
he had done on his end at all.
That's interesting. Please. Okay, so now, have you pretty much told us what you think about this? Because I'm going to bring up an exciting parallel to this entire story. Are you guys ready?
Let's
okay.
do it. Absolutely.
Okay. All right, what happens if you don't have a radionics machine? Now, that's a rhetorical question, meaning I've got an answer. How
okay.
many of you are familiar with Tony Robbins?
Yes, the motivational speaker,
yes, yes.
That guy?
Yes, yes, he is. Tony Robbins is a motivational speaker. And what Tony Robbins said that he did when people were causing him problems is he would imagine them firmly in his mind getting smaller and smaller and smaller to the point that they were disappearing. Now, this is very much akin to the idea of the fall. It's a way to get to mentally get rid of something that's causing you a problem. And I would say, had Tony Robbins had a radionics machine, he would have been far more powerful because he does have, and I think Professor Mulder and Robin, please correct me if you think I'm wrong, but I think it's important that you have good, solid mental images of what you want to happen. Robin, do you agree?
Well, yeah, it definitely helps you not only visualize but manifest what you're trying to do.
Right. Professor Mulder, what do you think about my statement there?
I agree. Like I said, whenever I do something for somebody using a machine, yes, I can deal with an email. That's okay. But if I have a picture, or better yet, if I'm able to actually have a phone conversation with them for even a few minutes, just so I can build some kind of a connection with them in my mind, and that is enough. That's all the information I need in order to use a radionics device without any issues. I mean, just to, you know, and I've noticed really, yes, you are 100% correct. If you can visualize the end results in your mind, you will have far, far better success than if you would if you just, you know, just saying, oh, I want to see some, I want to see this happen, but, and that's all you leave it as. Just, it's not really a heartfelt statement. It's not something that you desire or whatever. It's just like, you know, just, you know, arbitrarily just throwing it out there. No, but if you actually feel, you know, you can clearly see this thing in your mind and see the end results, that will put you so much further in the game. And I agree. I agree with you 100%.
Well, great. Thank you very much. Mr. Wrestling 3, while I know this
yes.
might not be exactly your area of expertise, I know that you do have some knowledge in the area of mental, I would call these mental calisthenics. you know, because there are ways to exercise your mind to help create a reality that you want, as long as the reality is okay and doesn't cause karma problems. So, Mr. Wrestling 3, I would like to know what you think about this discussion. I value, you know, it's interesting. I'm going to tell everybody, I talk to Mr. Wrestling 3 a couple of times a day. I value his opinion. He's a smart guy. And he's got really good opinions on about everything I've ever asked him. That's why I'm going to ask him this off-the-cuff question. Kind sir, you're on deck.
Well, everything I heard, you know, I totally concur with, and it fits with everything that I've heard and read about being effective with that kind of thing. But, you know, in my own experience and what I think what the way to do this is, like you said, just visualize it very clearly. But one extra step is, just picture you already having it. You know, it's not like, you know, you're begging the universe for something. Please, I really want to get this. You know, just it's kind of like you already have it. In fact, if you go back and look at your Bible, it even talks, Jesus talks about that. You know, it's you already look at it as though you already have it. That, I think that's the key to doing it. You know, does it work for every little thing? I don't know. You know, I don't try to do every little thing, but. For important things in the past, things that are just incredible to me, that has worked very well.
That's really cool. And I want to bring up an example from Britain's Got Talent, and then we're going to put Chris Chastain on the hot seat. I think one of the most exciting stars that ever walked through Britain's Got Talent was Ollie Mers. He finished second, ultimately, but he is the number one selling artist of all time in from those that came with Britain's Got Talent. He was just some little office dude from Essex, England, and he walked out there and he said before he walked out, he just decided, I'm already a star. He acted like a star, tore it up. He said, I just decided I would act like a star. So, Mr. Wrestling 3, that's exactly what you're saying, right?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah. In fact, maybe if I can get
you hear people like you hear people. Yeah, and you hear people like Eckhart Tolle talking about that.
Like who?
You hear people like Eckhart Tolle talking about that.
Now, who is that? Because that's a name that I'm not familiar with.
He wrote a series of books, and one book in particular called The Power of Now. Maybe you've heard that.
Oh, yeah.
And Robin could probably speak to that better than me.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear it. It blinks out every now and then.
No, I was saying you could probably speak better to who Eckhart Tolle is than I can.
No, because I'm not familiar with him.
That's okay. No worries whatsoever.
You know,
a lot of the stuff I should know, and I really don't, only because I'm going 24 hours out of a 24-hour day. I don't have time to read or do anything.
You know, Robin and I were talking
about that earlier
today. I mean, it's like we don't have time. You know, people say, do you know, I'm lucky I know the power of now. But I'm just saying, you know, there are a lot of us that are kind of practitioners of this, and we just don't have time time to read. You know, I mean, I barely have time to sit down and create the show. Yes, Robin?
I actually love to read. And years ago, that's all I did was read. I read book after book, like I devoured books. And within the last 10, 15 years, as things have progressed, I would love to have time to read and know all these things. There's the good and the bad. Like, if I know a lot of this stuff, it's good that you know all that, but it also, because of the work that I do, I also try to keep a lot of anything on the outside away from me. So when I do get premonitions, when I do work with people, everything I get is fresh, it's new, it's not influenced by anything out there as well.
That makes sense. That really does. You have to protect yourself from a lot of outside things to make sure that you're not using just the images you have from the outside things to do your predictions, correct?
Absolutely. I'm really, really careful about that, actually.
All right. Chris Chastain, you are on the hot seat.
So this is exactly why this is my favorite night of the week, because after a long day at work and you have your family things going on, life gets in the way, it's frustrating. You know, you learn something and the dots start to connect, or at least for me they do. And I've had a couple of instances before. This is going back to the, you know, seeing it and believing it, you know, in your mind, and it ends up manifesting. So there have been times where I've really, really wanted a certain position, whether it be at a new company or a, you know, internal move or something like that. And I don't know why I haven't like picked up on this before, but the more that you believe and you are saying, you know, this is mine, this is for me, you know, it will be mine, you know, it ends up happening. And I mean, and of course I don't have a radionics machine. Good Lord, think of, you know, what we could accomplish, you know, if more of us had, you know, these, you know, awesome devices. But I also, something struck me too is, you know, I grew up, you know, with a, you know, a strong spiritual background, and, you know, we went to church and things like that. But I've heard people all my life say, you know, speak things, speak it into existence, or, you know, don't speak that, because, you know, God, you know, forbid, you know, whatever you're saying, you know, I hope it doesn't happen or whatnot. You know, you don't want to speak that, putting it out into, you know, the atmosphere. Every time I hear more about the radionics, though, you know, it makes me want one even more. But another thing that jumped out to me, Dr. Mulder, you were saying, you know, it helps if you have like a phone conversation with someone, or, you know, an image, or, you know, an email or something like that. And my mind immediately went to remote viewing. And Robin, that's where I wanted to ask you this, because I know you have that ability. Is it kind of the same? Whereas if you're able to speak to someone that has, you know, lost someone, or they're trying to find, you know, a family member that's, you know, God forbid they've been kidnapped or something like that, it gives you some type of connection. And I'm thinking that the two are related almost.
Yeah.
And maybe
and
I'm wrong.
I will say this. No, years ago, and a lot of people don't know this. I mean, I've told it to a few people, but not a lot of people. Years ago, when I was in my 20s, back when they were inventing the wheel, I had a friend whose ex-husband kidnapped her children. And he had two of the three children. The one was sick that day and didn't go to their dad's house. He literally kidnapped these kids and took off with them, and the police couldn't find him. She went through several agencies in trying to get them back and had been unable to locate them. At that point in time, I had had a premonition prior to this of someone killing their child, and it came out to be true. And I had shut all my abilities down, did not want to deal with them at all anymore. It was awful. So anyway, now her children had been kidnapped, and she couldn't find them, the police, nobody, the authorities. And finally, after about 4.5, maybe 5 months, she sat me down and she said, listen, I get you don't want to do this anymore. Like, I do. I understand why. I want my children back. Nobody can find my children. You need to find my children. And so I said, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to put on the big girl panties and unblock everything. And, you know, I tracked them down to Germany and I found her kids. So when it comes to doing these things, you're doing it with a higher frequency and energetically. When it comes to this amazing machine that I have 100% faith in, It's the same thing. It's not any different. You're putting out your intent. You're putting out frequency. You're putting out energy. It's done a different way. So for the people that can't do it themselves, there is that alternative. And what I realized, I mean, I had been thinking about this for a while anyway, and then after I talked to Professor Mulder today, it just was so clear in my mind. And I may not have it all right because I'm learning about this. I am by no means an expert on this or anybody that really knows a lot about it. I'm learning. I am a newbie. But everything in me and everything I've noticed with this, it's the same thing. You're manifesting it in your mind when you're using your own energy and frequency and putting it out in the universe. That's the same thing that radionics does. You know, like I said, I've got a whole lot to learn about it by all means, but I am thrilled by it. I am blessed by it because I think this is something that more people need to become involved with. I really do. It can be used for a lot of good. Of course, you're going to get people that may try to go the other way, but, you know, it can be used for good. But from what I'm seeing of it so far, it's basically the same thing. It's just two different ways to achieve it, which I think is remarkable.
Well, Robin, and I've got to say something, whether this is politically correct or not, but this is what I do. I was speaking with someone a few days ago, and I was talking about the architecture of a radionics machine. And the answer was, John, it's just an amplifier. And all of a sudden it hit me, that's what it is. Because we do have the power to change reality somewhat. But if we have something that will help us amplify it, Professor Mulder, is that statement correct? It's just an amplifier.
For all intents and purposes, yes. I mean, I won't go out there and say this is like the Ark of the Covenant or whatever, you know, Indiana Jones type scenario where you have, you know, you have this thing that is basically a radio station to God. I wouldn't go that far, you know. But would I say that this is a simple tool that can be used to hack into your reality? Yes, I can say that with full confidence.
It's an amplifier. And then once I heard that, everything fell into place. And that helped me. And that has personally, it has personally helped me, and I'll wait until we get to the North Carolina Bigfoot Conference to tell everybody how it's helped me. It's been unbelievable. So the whole point is, once I understand what it does, it's pretty cool. So now this has been our first round. We've got two more rounds of experiences and questions because this is so much fun, and all I've got to say is this is ScaryCast. Brought to you by the greatest life insurance company in the world, in my opinion, Transamerica. Without Transamerica, we would not be on the air. So thank you, Transamerica, and all the great things that you have done for me and the millions of people that you have insured over the past 100 and some years, the past 115 years. You've really done a great job, and you've really helped people. So thanks a lot, Transamerica. We're back. ScaryCast, part two. Professor Mulder and Mr. Wrestling 3, you two are now on the hot seat.
Dun,
are you
dun,
ready?
Dun.
Mr. Wrestling, are you ready?
Fire away, whatever it is.
Okay. Professor Mulder, you have no choice. You're going to have to be ready, too. We talk about conspiracy theories a lot. And I have this belief, it's a strong belief, that where there's smoke, there is fire. I'd like for you to comment. I'd like for both of you, because you're both students of the world, you've both been a lot of places, done a lot of things. Why is it that people talk about conspiracy theories like they're kind of not believable when they pass, you know, there's something called a Turing test for artificial intelligence, and it says if you can emulate a human response enough that you don't know if it's human or not, then you passed the Turing test for artificial intelligence. That's what it is. It's a brilliant thing. Thank you, Alan Turing. But when you look at conspiracy theories, where do we get to the point that people might can stop calling them conspiracy theories and start calling them real? Mr. Wrestling 3, you're on the hot seat tonight. Please comment if you don't mind. We talk too much about this.
For sure. Well, I think you can trace most of this back to the Kennedy assassination. Back during that time, there were the Warren Commission had come out with its findings, and it was a pretty biased committee, you know, in hindsight, like a lot of these committees are. And lots of people were questioning the findings of the Warren Commission and criticizing it. And so, and this is not a conspiracy theory. This is a fact. The agency came up with the term conspiracy theory that was given to the media to denigrate anyone who questioned the findings of the Warren Commission. You know, it all of a sudden, if you did that, you were a tinfoil hat, you know, a whack job. And as time went on, the term conspiracy theory became even more. That's the first instance of its weaponization that I know of. But over time, it got to be more and more to where, you know, in the 80s and 90s and the 2000s, you know, when you said that word, that term, it automatically in the mind brought slides down, because when someone said something that was considered to be conspiratorial, which, you know, means something totally fabricated and nonsensical and paranoid, it's sort of couched in the psychiatric or the psychological, you know, problems that people have when they talk about these things. It would be equated with when you said something controversial, people would think of the X-Files and spaceships and Men in Black and black helicopters. So that's where all of this came from. It's just that what's happened in recent times, you know, people used to talk about the awakening of 2012, the Mayan calendar. And John B. Wells, if anyone knows who he is, you know, jokingly said one time after 2012, when all this stuff started coming out about Snowden and Assange, and we started finding out about things that heretofore, you know, we're only really theories. Like, we didn't know for an absolute fact that we were being surveilled until he revealed it and Clapper lied about it when standing in Congress. That's these things now are like John said when someone called in, he goes, so the awakening of 2012, how are you liking it now? I think you had Elon Musk saying, you know, the problem with conspiracy theories is that they all come true within 6 months. Now we need new ones. Anyway, I'll jump from here.
I agree with you.
All right, was that Professor
Mulder? Yeah, because here's something about 2012, and about 2012, and I'm glad you brought that up there, number three, is that is supposedly when the Mandela effect started taking place, when things started happening in reality and started getting kind of weird and kind of funky. I think the thing, number three and I, we were having a conversation of all things, you know, I was explaining to him about the Mandela effect, and at least he has an open mind about it. You know, you were willing to listen to what I had to say. And then we started going through, okay, what do you remember? And it got down to the Panama Canal. Now, number three, would you kindly tell the audience how you remember the Panama Canal when you were physically there and compared to the way it is now?
Well, when I was there, it was the exact opposite of how I had seen it when I remembered it from when I was a child looking at maps in school, you know. And, in fact, it was going in the opposite direction. So it took me a while. I was a little confused watching it because I thought, well, let me have to check my watch has a compass function on it. So I checked it, and I looked at the map, and everything looked fine then, but I thought, I sure don't remember it that way. And I didn't think anything more about it until years later, you and I were talking about this, you know, about how geography sometimes appears to be changed. And we remember things like Sicily, you brought that up, you know, and Italy, and the juxtaposition of it against the rest of the European continent. All of these things, or South America's position seemingly shifted from the way we remembered it when it was children. Now, did we remember it wrong back then? But it seems like there's a lot of people who remember it as it is now, and there's a lot of people like us who remember it like it used to be. And I think you brought up other instances too, like with someone you talked to about something in the Bible. I forgot. Was it the Lord's Prayer? I can't remember. You were talking about that.
Yeah.
That was a good example too. Or things as disparate as like the color of Gilligan. Oh, it's okay. Or things as disparate as the color of Gilligan's hat, you know?
Mm-hmm.
On Gilligan's Island.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll pass this
okay.
over,
oh, yeah.
pass
okay.
this over
okay.
to Dr.
Please
Mulder.
Stop. Please stop. Time out. What? Okay. I remember his hat was white.
Yeah.
Is there a problem?
Yeah, there's a problem. What color is it now there, number three?
I believe it's
red.
Gray, isn't it? Red.
No, it's like
excuse
a beige
me, it's red
now.
It's red now,
no,
yeah. It was white. Robin, you remember that, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I used to watch that show all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, it used to be white, and now it's beige, I think.
Oh, it was white. It was absolutely white.
Oh, yeah.
Don't even go there. I mean, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I tell you, another one that kind of got me was Elizabeth Taylor. Okay, what color were her eyes? Elizabeth
Weren't
Taylor.
They supposed to be that lavender blue color everybody said?
Right, they were sapphire
okay.
blue. They were sapphire blue, right?
Okay.
Yeah, I
think the color's changed. I think it's become, it's like a special, it's a genetic defect, and, you know, for certain people will have that color. And I remember her being more of a violet.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
That's what it was
more
supposed to be, was violet, because that was always supposed to be the really, you know, amazing thing about her was her eyes.
Yeah. So, but I mean, that's just me. I've seen so many different things. It amazes me. But the whole point of this, you know, what does this have to do with your original question? You know, I think we kind of got off on a tangent there. But, you know, the point of it is I witness every day, every single day, things, my reality changes. And even this experiment that we did today, Robin and I, what we did right there, we proved that we could change reality. We were already seeing the path. This thing was hardcore. I was dealing with a potential, what I would consider a very aggravating situation, and not very pleasant. And we're about to know here within 24 hours whether or not this experiment has worked. But it changed from a vision of something that I'm about ready to hit a little bit of some difficulties here, and now that's starting to fade away by turning a few dials. By turning a few dials, I've changed my future.
Yeah. You know, and when it comes to, like, the energy work and the frequency work that I do, while I do it remotely, it does similar things. And like you said, this is where I think the tie-in is. And obviously, you know, that might have a lot more oomph to it than I do. But this is where that tie-in is with it. You know, when you can change something that's going to happen, especially something that's going to be uncomfortable, you know, not pleasant, and I'm sorry, and in this case, you know, unreasonable because it wasn't justified. But when you can change that situation to correct that problem, to me, that's just amazing. But I had no idea what he had done on his end. He simply asked me a question. Can you read that again and see what you get? Sure, no problem. And it was already changing. That tightness that I got in my chest where I felt like I was hitting that speed bump is barely visible, almost 100% gone. I would say like 99% gone. That vision, it's just like now in a smoke-filled room, like it dissipated all over.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's amazing here. Now, my question is, past, can we do the same thing with the past? Can we change the past in order to affect the now and the future?
Oh, good question.
That's a Robin question. Robin, what do you think?
I don't know. You can't change the actions of the past, but I think you can maybe possibly alter the consequences of the past. Like you can possibly clear things out? Because, like, I know when I've gone in different areas that I've been sent to where things have happened there that were bad, I've been sent to areas to clear that air, rejuvenate the earth, and change what was. Okay? From my perspective, from things that I've done, I see no reason why this can't do the same.
Okay. All right, Chris Chastain, what do you have to say? You're on the hot seat on Scary Cast.
Well, my mind is going like mind is going 90 to nothing. Just trying to, it's so much to wrap your mind around. But I almost wonder. I'm trying to think how to word it. So, if you're trying to change some the effects of something from, let's say it happened, I don't know, 20 years ago or whatnot, you can't change what actually happened, but it's almost like releasing some type of attachment that it had over you. That's what I'm understanding, I think. Robin, is that an accurate statement?
Yeah, it is. The movements have already been done. But at the same time, you can maybe alter the end result of that. You know, I mean, if somebody's already done something, it's been done. But if you can affect the outcome, correct the damage or something of that nature, I believe that's possible.
Yeah. You're ultimately changing the future now.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
And correcting
in
the
my
past.
Opinion. I mean, you know, for something that could have been, you know, I'm just thinking something that could have been affecting families for generations, you know, you're changing, you know, what's going to come for, you know, people down the line. So it's just, my mind is blown. I love this.
Hey, welcome to the club there, man. I'm with you. I'm right there with you. I'm right in the middle of this stuff, and I'm still, I'm amazed every day. That's the reason why I think it's probably, that's probably one of the main motivators that I have when it comes to building these machines and, you know, continuing with, you know, new innovations. And so I'm with you. I see it just like you did.
You know, I don't know how I ended up in the situation about the radionics. I honestly, and I'm not being dramatic, but I do. I feel very blessed. And I'm so excited about it.
Yeah.
I really and truly
exactly.
am. I just think it's one more way to improve things. Like, anybody that knows me knows I like to help everybody. That's just what I do. Okay, I've always been like that. I've been like that my whole life. It's one more way you can do that. And it's another way that we have never been aware of to use energy and frequency and vibrations to do all those things.
Oh, yeah. Totally agree. And again, it's just a tool. That's all it is. It's just a tool. And it, I have these magicians that have really grabbed on to radionics because they use it within their practices. And they said that it really takes a lot of the prep time, a lot of, you know, Freud's ritual, ceremony, whatever you want to call it, and the actual ceremony itself. I mean, we're looking at hours and hours of time that's consumed by them, not including the psychic energy that's projected from them into the ceremony. And they find it's like real work to them. They'll tell you it's very exhausting. To do these things. It's not something like, you know, hocus pocus, you know, that kind of thing. It's really involved. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they were using radionics to basically do what they were doing, you know, during a ritual, and it saved me so much time, and it was so much easier. So that tells me right there that, like you said, energy work, this will take the load off of you. It'll make your job so much easier because all you have to do is set a few dials and let the machine do the work instead of yourself. Look, treat it like a tool.
Yeah.
Okay, now, ladies and gentlemen, I have a surprise announcement. We have a new participant in tonight's podcast. He's from the mountains of North Carolina. He's one of the most exciting. You've never heard me call an engineer exciting, but Mobius is here. How are you doing tonight, Mobius?
I'm doing very good. I could not resist jumping into this one because I've got some input. So,
yay.
Hello, everybody.
Input yourself.
Okay. And the idea that the past is finite and can't be changed, long ago experiments have shown in quantum physics that the past can be affected by future outcomes. And it's called retrocausality, if you want to look it up. And it's very controversial, but it has been done in experiments where something that has occurred in the future has caused a change in the past. And it doesn't necessarily have to be done at the quantum level. It can occur. Quantum events can occur at the macroscopic level. But let me point this to another actual thing I'm aware of. There was a minister, and he prayed. He went back in time, and he got records from multiple hospitals that all more or less had a certain death rate during the plague. And he chose a random hospital, and he would pray for the people in the past in that hospital. And consistently throughout the U.S., every hospital that he would work with would have maybe 30 or 40% lower death rates for the months that he would apply prayer and reverse causality. Now, that is a very weird example, and it could be argued that it was random, it was coincidence. But he has done a lot of other experiments, and I need to find the guy's name. But I thought I would call in and give you guys a wild card and to just simply look up retrocausality as an experiment and the phenomena about
amazing.
It, because it is a thing.
I just did that with ChatGPT, and I'm sorry. Go ahead, Robin.
No, I was going to say I'm not surprised because, you know, everything that I've learned, which – is probably a drop in the bucket, but there are no limits to things that can happen and things that can be done. So when you come on and you say that, it doesn't surprise me.
It is counterintuitive, though.
Well, the thing is just because we may not know, like I didn't know how that would happen, you know. I know, like, if you go back in time, obviously you can alter the course of what's going to happen. But, I mean, there's a whole lot of it there. Just because I may not know the actual way to do it doesn't mean it's not possible. You know, I'm a firm believer
in
all things are possible.
In quantum physics, the observer always has incredible power, and they always affect the experiment. So essentially what it's saying is observation into the past affects the past and affects the future. So it's very complicated. I'm going to say one other thing. I'm going to vanish. Most people think that quantum physics is relegated to this extremely small world. But in fact, there have been experiments on the visible realm where objects are going opposite directions at the same time, left and right, up and down. They're in an infinite state of combination, and they're visible. And they stay that way, and they act that way. But you know what? The crazy thing is everything stops. Like even if you look at uranium under a microscope, a super electron microscope, and you watch for like a neutron release because it's decaying, it should happen. But the first people who got a neutron microscope, they were extremely bored because as long as they look, nothing happens. The entire universe collapses under observation. So I just wanted to wild card you, and this goes Mulder, who always says that his box is definitely a quantum-like device. I tend to agree that consciousness is in play here, and just reality as we think about it, it does not confine itself to the rules that we normally think it should. It's a wild card.
Right.
Okay, good night,
yeah.
Everybody.
Appreciate you just jumping in there, blowing the rest of my mind away. Little piece that was left intact.
Take care.
Thanks for being
this
with us.
Really
I'll check with you later. Yes, Robin?
I know this doesn't really have to do with the topic that we're having, but when it comes to the quantum physics, there's a major tie with that with the cryptids, just putting that out there, and the things that they do and the abilities that they have. Ron Moorhead wrote a book on it because he had figured out the tie between the quantum physics with it.
Interesting, interesting. And Ron Moorhead will be the super guest star at the Georgia Bigfoot Conference on March 15th and 16th of 2023. So it's going to be a lot of fun to have him. All right. So I tell you what, Mobius has left, and we now have time for two more observations and two more counterpoints. So we're going to do them. Everybody gets 2 minutes. Professor Mulder, what have you got to say about tonight's topics? You have 2 minutes.
I thought this was absolutely fantastic. I didn't think we were going to go that far. The only thing I really thought I was going to contribute was the experiment that I did today. And then we start getting all over the place here. And that's what I like about this, Dr. John, is the fact that you kind of let the conversation go where it needs to go. And that's the sign of a good host, by the way. You just know know when to speak.
It's important that it does go where it needs to go when we have good qualified guests. Mr. Wrestling 3, what do you have to say for yourself? You're on the hot seat on ScaryCast.
Well, I'll just cheat and say I concur with Professor Mulder there. But really, I think the breadth of the topicality and everything kind of dovetails into the other topics that we were talking about. So, you know, looking at it as a unified whole of this podcast, I think it's just right on target. You know, with the themes that we've been talking about.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you. And before I get to our counterpoint from our co-hosts, I'm going to say, would you two guys come back soon? This has been a lot of fun, and I want to make sure Dr. Trey Dunaway is with us because he's got a hall pass tonight. We want him here with us, and this is going to be – we might run a special two-hour ScaryCast with all of us here. So I'll consult with my co-hosts. All right, Chris Chastain is next, and tonight the Queen of ScaryCast, Robin McCray, gets the last word. Chris Chastain, you're on the hot seat on ScaryCast.
Don't let it burn me.
Your butt's on fire, Chris.
I know. So sometimes on ScaryCast, in fact, a lot of times, I walk away feeling like I've been to a class in college where there's so many things I've jotted down that I need to research, and tonight was definitely one of them, especially with the retro causality. Like, good Lord, how do you even spell that? And then the quantum physics, Robin, you piqued my interest there when you said, you know, the relationship between them and the cryptids. But for the rest of tonight with the radionics and all, like I said, my mind is still just blown. I really don't have any further questions at the moment. I'm just appreciative for the information. So. To both of you, Wrestler 3 and Professor Mulder, thank you so much. This is amazing.
My pleasure.
And Robin McCray, you are on the hot seat with the last word for ScaryCast tonight. What have you got to say?
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I am learning so much about the radionics. Every time I talk to Professor Mulder, when I talk to John and just what I'm kind of putting pieces together, whether they're right or not. But, and then again today, it was so exciting with that experiment. It really was. And I, like I said, I didn't know what he had done. He had just said, just look at it again, you know, and I did. And it was so apparent. I mean, literally apparent. So I'm just really impressed with the whole thing and very anxious to learn more about it and kind of spread the word about it.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate that. And by the way, I would like to send greetings from John LeMay, who sent us a quick greeting, and we want to get him back as soon as possible. We've got the North Carolina Bigfoot Conference. We got so much stuff going on. North Carolina Bigfoot Conference, June 17th, Burnsville Town Center, Burnsville, North Carolina, Professor Mulder. We hope that Mr. Wrestling 3 will be there. We hope that Mobius will be there. I know I'll be there. I've got to be there. My buddy Mike McIntyre, the expert on Game of Thrones, will be there. We got a lot of great people that are going to be there. It's probably just going to be a lot of fun. So, look, thanks to everybody tonight. We're going to invite these two gentlemen back. We want to have Dr. Trey Dunaway when he is going to be here with us, when he's not out doing family responsibilities. And we thank him for being our friend and being a great co-host. So I wanted to say thanks to everybody for this wonderful, wonderful podcast. And we'll see you next week. Now, tomorrow night on ScaryCast is going to be Kyler Smith and Matt Delf, and we're going to be talking to John Dixon, the ufologist. He was one of the heads of the UFO investigating committee on Tennessee MUFON when our friend Angelia Shear was there. And God rest her soul, she was a wonderful lady, and we're so glad that we knew her for the time that we did. So anyway, thank you, everybody. I've got the best news is we're coming back tomorrow night, Thursday night, and we're hopefully going to not end for a long, long time on the one, the only ScaryCast. Everybody say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye, everyone.
Goodbye. Bye.